Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 Monday afternoon, April 14th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hartz. The tax deadline is fast approaching. We'll share some last-minute filing tips in our next segment. But first, the busy week ahead on Wall Street includes tariff developments, retail sales data, and a wave of earnings from several corporate heavyweights. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Bob Bruska, Chief Economist, Fact and Opinion Economics, based in New York. Bob, thank you for joining us today. And if you managed to consume the fire hose of takes and analysis and concern and triumphalism about where we are just exactly in this tariff policy over the weekend, you're probably, your head's still spinning. And I think most people's heads are still spinning trying to make heads or tails out of this. But what is the latest on this tariff back and forth between the U.S., not only in China, but the rest of the world? And the latest thing is exemptions on certain electronic products.
Yeah, well, you know, when they started all of this, Elon Musk had sort of laid out the groundwork saying that, you know, they would make mistakes, but they would fix them. And so Trump, you know, blasted this overall tariff, particularly the big one with China that he then ramped up after he cut the tariffs back on other countries. And then he put some exemptions in because there are some U.S. industries that would be otherwise, you know, quite badly affected on very short notice. So he exempted auto parts. He's exempted electronics, but he said he's going to put the electronics tariffs back on. So Tim Cook at Apple gets a reprieve, at least for a while. Apple does a lot of its, you know, production there in China. And, you know, people talk about this in different ways. I think it's important to realize that, you know, economists like free trade and they don't like tariffs. And a few Democrats have talked recently saying, well, tariffs are good, but if they're used selectively, not this. And actually, that's the worst way to use tariffs. You don't want to use them selectively to protect industries. Trump is using this as a big club to try to get the U.S. back to a more favorable trading position with other countries that have advantages that they've kept in the post-war period and have never given back when they were given special, you know, breaks in the post-war period. And that's what he's using. You can think of this as whack-a-mole. And he's trying to whack a bunch of moles, and he's trying to get them to reduce their tariffs so we can have free trade. Now, maybe at the end of it, he also wants tariff revenues. I don't know. But we'll see where this goes. For the time being, we just can't know.
And then, is this going to weigh not only on all of the economic reports we get out this week, retail sales, industrial production, business inventories, but also on earnings season? I mean, what are we looking for in forward guidance from Goldman Sachs or Bank of America or even United Airlines?
Well, how can they give you going forward guidance when they don't know what the tariff policy is going to be and they don't know what the tariffs are, and when Trump's engaging in these negotiations on a country-by-country basis? So obviously nobody knows, and that makes life much more difficult for everybody. And you know, if he's successful, it's a price worth paying, and if he's not successful, then it's a terrible cost that we paid for nothing. And that's why the stakes are so high. You know, economists talk about how important international trade is and how important it is to have free trade. Well, if it's that important, maybe it's worth taking some risk to get it. So that's how I think of it. I think it's wrong to demonize Trump. I think it's a problem in the short run, but he knows that he doesn't have a lot of time. And so he's taking a very aggressive act, and you can hate him for it. You can respect him for it. I'm not going to make your political judgment, but it certainly is interesting.
Bob Bruska, Chief Economist, Fact and Opinion Economics, based in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, as the tax deadline looms, we'll share last-minute tips and whether you should request an extension.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Time is running out to file your taxes. Tomorrow is the deadline. Yes, tomorrow. Joining us with last-minute tips and whether you need an extension is Elizabeth Bafardi, founder of Crescendo Financial Planners, based in Oak Brook. Elizabeth, thank you for joining us today. And I would imagine, as a financial planner, we are approaching the crescendo of your year as far as people's taxes are concerned. But if you're approaching crunch time and you are nowhere near being prepared to file by tomorrow night, what are some things that you can do to make sure you're on the good side of Uncle Sam?
So you're going to definitely want to figure out if you owe or not. If you do owe, either way, you're going to probably want to file an extension. But the key to filing the extension is to see if you owe or not, because if you owe, you want to make sure that you pay in something with that extension payment or with that extension form, because if you don't, then you're going to end up with a lot of penalties and interest.
Now, generally, like for the average taxpayer, even if you don't even sit down to approach filing your taxes until today, chances are, you know, you probably are able to knock it out and file electronically before the deadline tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, you should definitely be able to. It shouldn't be a problem, especially if you have all your tax documents, you know, handy and in front of you.
But normally, like, how many people do request extensions, and then who is the average person who does request an extension?
So I'm not sure on how many people request extensions. The goal, you know, as a tax preparer is always to make sure that we can get as many out as we can, because then that just, you know, lessens what we have to follow up with later. But as far as the people that typically request an extension, it's either you don't have all your tax documents, so like you're expecting a K-1 that you haven't received yet, or, you know, something, you just don't have all your stuff together. And so if you're missing those K-1s, then you're going to have to file an extension so that way you can get those in order to prepare your documents. Because the IRS has really good matching software, meaning that when you have a K-1 or a 1099 or something like that that's reported to the IRS, they're going to match that with what's on your tax return. And so if there's a discrepancy, they're going to send you a notice. And the path to resolving the notices seems like it takes forever because I think the IRS is short-staffed.
I was going to say, they are very good about making sure all of your documents match up with their numbers, because I had my federal return bounced back because I improperly transposed a number on one 1099 and then, you know, went back, changed it, and it was accepted. So it's kind of funny. The IRS can certainly act with a degree of dispatch when they want to.
That's very true. It's very true.
And so if you do file today, I mean, you talked about how they are short-staffed in some respects. Even if you file electronically and you are getting a refund back, if you file today, when can you expect that refund? Is it within 3 weeks or could it be longer?
It's probably going to be a little bit longer. I think that usually if you file today, that the earliest you're going to get your refund is like, you know, first, second week of May. So, but it varies by the year. And I'm not exactly certain why it varies, but I know there was, or I feel like there was a couple of years, and I don't remember when that was exactly, where a lot of the refunds didn't start coming out until like June. So it varies by the year, but, you know, I'm going to say May 15th-ish is probably when you would expect it.
Elizabeth Bifardi, founder of Crescendo Financial Planners in Oak Brook. And one more thing, Elizabeth, if you do file for an extension, there's no questions asked. There's no one coming back at you and saying, hey, why are you late? They will respect your request for an extension regardless of your reasoning.
Oh, for certain. For certain. There's no questions as to why you're extending. It's just that you make sure you file the form. And the other tidbit I'll give you is make sure you think about if you're going to owe for the states as well, because you don't want to, if you don't owe for the Fed, that doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to owe for the state.
Elizabeth Bifardi, founder of Crescendo Financial Planners in Oak Brook, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up next, Blue Origin's all-female crew lands safely, marking the latest step in bringing space travel closer to the mainstream.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Blue Origin launches a star-studded all-female crew into space, returning to Earth with a smooth, dust-kicking desert touchdown. Joining us with the latest detail is Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show, based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, thank you for joining us today. Yes, the latest Blue Origin flight with Katy Perry and Gayle King of CBS This Morning on board. Does this mean we're that much closer to the next season of White Lotus being in space?
It's celebrity wives of 62 miles up, I guess. It's definitely, you know, some would call it a publicity stunt. It sure is an expensive one, because obviously sending a rocket up with a bunch of folks in any case, no matter who they are, is a highly expensive endeavor. But they took off from West Texas, Van Horn, Texas, this morning. We're up for about 10 minutes. And most importantly, at least to them, they achieved an altitude of over 62 miles, which is what it's called, the Kármán line. Or the Kármán line, and basically that defines for most folks the edge of space. So that was the idea: get those folks up there, get lots of notoriety, and of course get them the official moniker of astronaut.
Blue Origin, which is being bankrolled by Jeff Bezos, and of course you have Virgin Galactic with their money behind them. And we've been talking about their development over the years, Paul, and it seems like eventually the goal is to turn them into money-making enterprises by bringing paying passengers into space. And I've noticed that the people who are on board today, they are considered crew, and I wonder if they are considered crew for legal reasons.
That's exactly right, actually. There are all kinds of, as you can imagine, I can't even imagine what the release forms look like when you sign up to go up on one of these things. But I will say this, that folks who are on these passenger ships are considered crew. They are not considered pilots in any way. They're not guiding the flight. The folks were very famous in this case, certainly not necessarily qualified to be an astronaut, you know, officially, but Katy Perry, the pop star Aisha Bowe, who's an aerospace engineer who worked for NASA, is certainly the most qualified. Gayle King, who was on television for a long time, a filmmaker named Carrie Ann Flynn, and Amanda Wynn, who's a civil rights activist. So none of these folks are, other than the engineer, Aisha Bowe, are highly technically qualified to operate a ship. In this case, they are passengers, as you said.
And of course, there have been examples of other money-making enterprises that did not end especially well. Today just happens to be the anniversary of the Titanic striking the iceberg, which also brings to mind the Titan submersible, which itself was supposed to be a money-making enterprise for OceanGate Enterprises. So even if people have deep enough pockets and they have the wherewithal and the means to either go up near space or down to the ocean floor, space and the ocean, they have other ideas. And even with the best plans, it could still be a very dangerous endeavor.
No, make no mistake. I mean, you know, both of those environments, deep in the ocean and in outer space, or at least outside that boundary, are highly, highly unforgiving. It should be noted the suits these folks were wearing, all the six-woman crew, were designed to be basically flexible and comfortable, but not designed to protect them from outer space. Spacesuits are designed to handle what amounts to, you know, incredibly low temperatures or incredibly high temperatures when you're exposed to the sun with no atmosphere to protect you. So this, you're absolutely right. There is no question, while this is a publicity stunt in some ways, it is a publicity stunt in the service of business. Initially, all these flights were manned by folks, in fact, manned mostly by folks who were men and who were trained to be astronauts. In this case, what Blue Origin's doing is getting it closer and closer to a commercial enterprise, and they're doing that by publicizing it with folks who clearly are not astronauts, but who are daring, because as you said, it's highly dangerous, but it's also potentially highly lucrative.
Paul Hochman, thank you for joining us today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Members of the Chicago Teachers Union have overwhelmingly approved the new 4-year contract with the city's public schools. A suspect is in custody and faces several charges for allegedly breaking into and setting a fire at the Pennsylvania governor's mansion early yesterday. A Chicago-based fast food chain is trying something different with its breakfast offerings. Plus, it's Stock Picker Monday, and a money pro will join us with some investment tips. WBBM Business, the markets are higher. The Dow is up 233 points. The NASDAQ is up 59. The S&P 500 is up 32. We have 60 degrees right now in Chicago under mostly sunny skies. It's 12:31, topping our news of the half hour. Members of the Chicago Teachers Union have overwhelmingly voted to ratify their new 4-year contract agreement with the city's public schools. They announced this morning that 97% of its members voted last week to approve the deal that followed almost a year of negotiations. It sets lower class size limits, gives teachers pay raises, and could add hundreds of new staff members. The man accused of breaking into and setting a fire at Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro's home early yesterday is in custody. The governor and his family were evacuated safely. No injuries were reported. CBS News correspondent Chanel Call has more from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
38-year-old Cody Bomber of Harrisburg is now in custody. Police allege he scaled the exterior fence and forced his way in, possibly using a homemade incendiary device to start the fire.
He clearly had a plan. He was very methodical in his approach.
Bomber's mother tells CBS News she tried to get help for her son, who she says suffers from an unknown mental illness.
Bomber will face charges of attempted murder, terrorism, aggravated arson, and aggravated assault. After his arrest, a police affidavit says he admitted to harboring a hatred toward Governor Shapiro, but didn't explain why. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are higher. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director of Clearstead Advisors based in New York. And lots of tariff news over the weekend, and markets appear to be responding well to this electronics exemption. What prompted that, and how are markets going to react going forward?
The first indication was that the exemptions were permanent, and then on Sunday, there were some interviews that said that maybe that's not the fact, and that there are going to be tariffs that are going to be introduced sometime over the next couple of weeks. So I think what you have is the market doesn't like the tariffs. Whatever you think about them strategically, or whatever you think, whether the president is doing the right or the wrong thing, the markets like certainty, and tariffs create uncertainty, and so the markets get upset when you get strict tariff announcements, because they don't know what the implications are going to be for the economy and profit. So you're getting a little bit of a relief rally today based on the fact that we're going to get some sort of a pause in the electronics and semiconductors and iPhones. And also this morning, President Trump said he may do something on autos. So the market reacts positively when the tariffs are going to be a little bit less than the worst case fear, and negatively when the tariffs look like they're going to be maximalist.
And what is your kind of sense, what is your analysis, or maybe what are people telling you about the current state of the economy? Because even if the White House is backing off the most draconian version of tariffs, the uncertainty leads to a lack in business investment, and there are all sorts of second and third order effects after that.
Yes, absolutely. You are getting increasing signs about the possibility and maybe even the probability of a recession. You had some of the best brains in America mention that over the last few days. Ray Dalio, Jamie Dimon, Larry Fink, the consumer confidence numbers are pointing that way. The small business optimism numbers are pointing that way. So we're really dependent on the tariff regime, but right now the markets are saying that the likelihood of a recession has gone up materially over the last few weeks.
And then let's talk about some action in the 10-year yield, because the bond market seems to be forcing a number of hands in the White House and elsewhere.
Yes, absolutely. The 10-year bond has been acting like a risk asset as opposed to a safety haven asset. And the Treasury Secretary, he's a smart guy, and he's a Wall Street guy, he's a hedge fund guy, and I think he gets that if the 10-year gets out of control, it can affect the financial plumbing of the system and have unknown side effects, all negative. So that I think he's giving Trump advice, and that the break on Trump now is not the stock market, it's the bond market and the 10-year Treasury yield.
Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearstead Advisors, based in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, are people ready for Italian beefs at dawn? Does that question even need an answer? Portillo's thinks so, and we have the details next.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Portillo's enters the breakfast wars, testing early hours and Italian beef sandwiches at dawn. It almost sounds like a challenge to a duel. Beef sandwiches at dawn. Joining us to discuss is R.J. Hadavi, head of analytical research at the foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI in Chicago. R.J., thank you for joining us today. And I think we have discussed with great regularity how breakfast really is the final frontier of quick service restaurants competition. Everybody's jumping into it. Everybody has innovative products. And beef sandwiches at dawn is apparently the latest and most unorthodox entry into this marketplace.
You're right. It's continuing a trend that you and I have discussed many times before, and there's really a lot of reasons for it. In this day and age, with restaurants being more expensive to operate, people are really looking, a lot of the operators are really looking to extend and get as many hours of the day as they can. So breakfast becomes an attractive day part to expand into. And typically these are higher margin products, and they tend to be a lot more visitor frequently, see a lot higher visit frequency, particularly because of that coffee. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. As you mentioned, it's not the first name you think of when it comes to breakfast, but there's a lot of reasons why it makes sense for them to expand into this particular day part.
And they are not jumping in to the deep end. on the on breakfast just yet. Portillo's is opening just five locations at 6:30 in the morning compared to 10 a.m. And clearly this is a marketing masterstroke by including Italian beef sandwiches as part of the breakfast offering, because we're talking about it. If they just said, oh, we're just having a normal breakfast menu of an egg sandwich or cinnamon rolls, maybe it just gets discussed in passing. But we're having this discussion because they have added Italian beef sandwiches to the breakfast menu. And who are we to judge, RJ, about when during the day you consume your Italian beef? So whether it's 7 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock at night, we love you just the same.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting test. And what I like about it, too, is that it sticks close to the brand core. It sticks close to the brand image. You know, obviously, Italian beef is what they're known for. And they're not deviating. They're not trying to create something that they aren't with it. And, you know, there has been examples of some of the other breakfast chains, the QSR chains, that have done well with steak sandwiches in the morning. So perhaps there's a chance that this could succeed as well. I also like that they're trying to make a chocolate cake donut out of this breakfast initiative. Too. I think that's going to be one of those things that sets them apart. So it'll be interesting to see. Like a lot of chains, they have to go through a test process before it's rolled out nationwide, and certainly be interesting to watch this as it's rolled out this summer.
And this is also, it just goes to show you, when it comes to fighting the breakfast wars, simplicity really is the name of the game, because some quick service chains that may have gotten too complex as far as their breakfast offerings are concerned, they're retrenching. I mean, that Starbucks is the latest and greatest example. So it seems like the KISS principle is certainly at play here.
Yeah, I mean, I think this accomplishes exactly that. I mean, they're not adding any undue complexity to the menu. You're not adding that many new ingredients. Effectively, the workflow process is the same. And as we've talked about in the past before, it's potentially a higher margin product, too. So eggs generally are a higher margin than in a normal egg price environment, although that has not been the case this year. You know, so it's interesting to watch. And you know, I think there's a lot of things that you know, potentially they could learn from this. And wouldn't be surprised to see it at least expand beyond the five locations after they've tested the product.
RJ Hadavi, head of analytical research at the foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. And still to come, a pair of investment ideas from a money pro. It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday. Joining us with a pair of investment ideas is Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services in Hammond. You can find him online at HorizonInvestment.com. Chuck, thank you for joining us today. Two selections on this Stock Picker Monday, and the first one is in the business of safety and security.
That's right. It's a brand that most people know. It's ADT. The symbol is ADT, and its stock trades for about $8 per share. And as you mentioned, it's a company involved in, you know, home security and burglary prevention and those sorts of things. It's an interesting company from the standpoint it has a, you know, a nice business model where it's a recurring revenue stream from its almost 6.5 million customers. The company should show pretty good earnings growth this year and next. We're looking for 10% earnings growth in 2025 and even better earnings growth in 2026. The nice thing is you can buy that earnings growth at just 10 times its 2025 earnings estimates. And what provides a nice little kicker to the company, and you don't see this too often with such low price stocks, is you can get a dividend yield of about 2.8%, so almost a 3% dividend yield on ADT. So it's a nice growth and income package. That's ADT, symbol is ADT, and the stock trades for $8 per share.
And then your next selection is from the energy space.
That's right. It's National Fuel Gas. The symbol is NFG. The stock trades for about $78 per share. And it's an interesting mix. They have a natural gas utility business, which provides a nice ballast to their company and nice predictability that utility brings. That represents about 40% of its revenue. And then it has kind of a non-regulated energy business with natural gas exploration, production, pipeline, and storage. Company's earnings should grow very nicely in 2025 and 2026. And yet you can buy that those earnings at just 11 times the 2025 earnings estimate. So I think there's good value here. And finally, the dividend yield, again, nice at 2.7%. And the nice thing is National Fuel Gas has one of those attractive consistency records. They've boosted their dividend annually for 54 years. And my guess is in this June period, they'll be boosting it yet again to make it 55 straight years of a dividend increase. So, again, nice growth, nice income. That's National Fuel Gas. NFG is the symbol. It trades for $78 per share. And our clients and our company own both of these stocks.
And Chuck, while I have you here, let's talk about what the Dow theory is telling you, especially in these volatile market times. Even though the markets are up today, the lots of wild swings in the last couple of weeks. What is the Dow theory telling us?
Yeah, the Dow theory is still bearish. It turned bearish March 10th, so it was a kind of a nice call that was prescient given the decline the market had in April. It's not unusual during these things to get kind of rallies within bear markets, and I think we're in the midst of one of those right now. But I still believe that at some point here, we will retest those lows that we had last week and the week prior to that. So it's still bear market, unfortunately, Rob.
Obviously, it's reacting to the tariffs, but what are some of the other forces at play explaining, you know, why the markets, explaining market behavior?
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I think I'm always reluctant to attribute market moves to one data point. And again, everything's been focused, all the attention's been focused on the tariffs. But, you know, I think there's, you know, there are some unexpected things going on in the credit markets, the bond market. I think that the behavior of the U.S. dollar is a little unsettling. And finally, you know, the behavior of the Dow Jones Transportation Average, which I've talked about here many times as being, you know, very sensitive to economic conditions, just hasn't been performing very well. And until you see that index really start to kind of build on a sustained upward move, it's going to be very difficult for the broad market to mount a sustained recovery.
Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services in Hammond, Indiana. Find him online, horizoninvestment.com. Thank you for joining us on this Stock Picker Monday. His selections, ADT, the ticker symbol ADT, and National Fuel Gas, the ticker symbol NFG.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.